Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here today to talk about tonight's Big Brother Canada 9 eviction episode. And with me to talk about it all is Aman. How you doing, Aman?
I'm good. I am back from the land of chapstick and embarrassment. I survived. Thank you guys all for your well wishes. I was once on my deathbed, but I am a fighter and I fought my way back onto this podcast. So
survived,
thank you guys.
An entire stick of chapstick. Yes. Unfortunately, yeah. Anthony is not going to be joining us tonight. For those of you who may have expected, let me tell you guys how this went. I did say that there is a small chance that we would be able to get Anthony tonight, that he would he was going to try and make it, and that we should not advertise that Anthony's on the podcast, but it happened. So I apologize to everyone who was expecting some Anthony, but I will, here's what I will say to you guys. I will do my best to speak with Anthony at some point in the next few days, or whenever he is available, and get his thoughts on what's been happening on the season, and maybe release that as a separate thing for you guys. I do apologize that he is not here tonight. You are going to have to deal with just Mr. Chapstick and myself here.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not as big and buff like the poutine poppy over here, but I will do my best to give you guys everything that I have.
Yes. We're here. We're going to talk about tonight's episode. I do feel like we didn't get too much that we weren't really expecting from this episode. Mm-hmm. It was pretty straightforward. We did get a nice jury segment. Apart from that, it was all expected, I think.
Yeah. Lots of filler. I mean, we got some explanation for what that chipmunk stuff was. Well, I guess we kind of already knew what it was, but we just, you know, got further clarification, and we got to see a little bit of Beth blowing up. It was a pretty straightforward episode. I feel like we didn't learn a lot more, but we did get to see some stuff from Ty and his DRs that I'm like, you might be going past the point of no return there, buddy. So yeah, that was the only kind of thing that I sort of, like, you know, had my eyebrows raised about.
Yeah. Let's just talk about this right off the bat here. This, I have a clip here from the episode.
All she does is throw people under the bus. Like, I'm done with her. Like, I don't even care about jury management at this point. Like, as long as she's gone, I am happy. I don't need her vote. I don't want it. I just want to get to the end and forget about Beth.
Boy.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm-hmm. So I seem to recall another guy saying something similar to this, that a lot of fans like to throw in this player's face. Mm. And there's plenty of players that have said things like this, and then most of the time it never really ends up coalescing into the result that they would like. So I feel like this could be some very, very heavy foreshadowing going down the road. I really hope that is not the case, but you never want to go into, I don't care how pissed off you get in that game. I don't care how angry somebody is making you. You never, ever, ever, ever want to just discard their vote. You do your best. I'm not saying you can't, you know, be human and blow up from time to time, because that's going to happen. It's Big Brother. It's a pressure cooker. We get it. But you need to then, after that blow up, go and mend that relationship. But the fact that he is saying it in the DR is like, well, damn, like, if you're willing to just tell the producers when Beth isn't even around, I'm like, tell us how you really feel, man. Like, I just wish that he hadn't said that, because now if things don't go the way that he planned, it's going to be like, oh, well, you were the one that said you didn't need her vote. So it's not good. It's not good.
It's not great. I recall Kayla saying something similar. I recall it's not a good thing. I was watching this live on Twitch, as I do. We watch the episodes live, react to them on Twitch. Somebody was like, man, when did Tyler, or sorry, Tyler, look what's happening now. Ty has become Tyler. When did Ty decide to become the villain? And it sparked an idea in my head. I was like, hold on. You know who else said something similar? I'm wondering, did we miss a segment when the feeds were down? Were the house guests visited by a past player that gave them advice? Did Pop and Paul Jackson visit Ty and say,
I no longer want to be the nice guy. Right now, I will become the bad guy.
Yeah. This is
not
where
Pop and Paul.
Ty needs to become the bad guy. That he's playing the Pop and Paul game.
I just feel like Tashawn has really just he's just become increasingly more annoyed by his surroundings. I think that he's getting so close to the end, and I feel like he can taste the money. And he did say, which to all to, you know, in all fairness, he did say in his intro that he did want sort of to have a bit of a villain edit going into this, and I think that he's showing us what he means. And I think on top of that, he just seems to sort of just be like, Beth, like, he's like, you and I have been doing, I know your game, you know my game. So why are we sitting here trying to lie to each other about the things that we did? Like, I want you out because I feel like there's a good chance that you could beat me. I don't want to have to put up with that at the end. And that's it. And he wants people to just understand that. But it's hard for someone that's been working with you this entire game to sort of swallow that pill. So instead of just being like, it's going to happen whether you like it or not, get over it, see, or have fun in jury, Beth. Like, like, why would you do that instead of just being like, you know what? I get it. But at the end of the day, I'm still voting you out, because you can still get a good villain edit out of that. You know what I mean? Like, you can still get your good villain edit if you're smiling in Beth's face and being like, oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. Like, I get it. Like, I wanted to go to the end with you. And then you go to the DM and you're like, I don't care. She's going home. You know what I mean? Like, this is not the age of Daniel Reyes. No one is going to see your video or your DRs nowadays. You can say whatever you need to, but at least have the wherewithal to at least fake it just a little bit. That being said, Beth has been extremely annoying this week. So there's, you know, there's a give and a take with everything.
Yeah, it's...
Enjoy jury, Beth!
Yeah.
I just don't want that to come back and like be used. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's just like, once it's out there, it's like, damn, it's like the chapstick comment. Like, it'll just come back to haunt you unless you nip it in the bud.
Yeah. I can picture now, Beth putting her key in the box. You know, I really enjoyed my time in jury. And that's why I'm casting this vote.
Yeah. Enjoy your $20,000.
Yeah. Be frustrated.
So frustrating.
Be frustrated.
Yeah, like, be frustrated. Oh, come on, Ty. Don't do this. Don't do this. Like, I know a lot of people love this, though, because a lot of people just loved having someone stick it to Beth. And yeah, there's an element of that in there as well, but it's the final four. You're in the final four. You're one HOH away from final three. Like, you really got to worry. You have to worry. You always have to worry about dream management. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some players out there, you know, you're not getting their vote. You know you're not getting their vote. Like, the relationship is just irreconcilable. Beth is not one of those people for you, Ty. Like, Beth should not be leaving this house talking about, I hope Tara wins. What? And furthermore, why is all of a sudden Tara like everybody's backup winner now? It's so slimy. And talk about being fake, Beth. Like, what is that? Because everybody else that you like that is now going against you is going out of the house. Or they're voting you out of house. Now everybody's like Team Tara, including you fans out there that have never been talking about Tara. Now all of a sudden you guys are Team Tara. Like, that's your backup plan?
I mean, it's you just, know, she did
with a terrifying HOH behind the wheel.
Oh my God. Okay. Sure. You know what? It's great. She had a wonderful time in the Monday episode. She fought her way back. She is correct. She fought her way back against Jensen, even though I don't think it's that impressive because all you guys were doing was rolling. You guys were playing skee ball. Okay. It's not like you guys were running a mile. All right. Which probably Tara might be able to outdo him because, you know, Tara is all about the endurance. But besides any of that, like, I just don't understand why everybody is like, yeah, you know what? Now I'm thinking Tara really should win. Oh, get out of here. Just say that you're mad about your alliance crumbling. You couldn't keep it together and you thought that Tara was going to be out of the house and now she's back. So now it's just an easier way for you to say, oh, I don't want my people to win. So I want Tara to win. Oh, it's just like, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. It is.
Yeah. It's the under. I mean, she's the underdog. At least in terms of the audience, it's definitely the fact but that she's the underdog.
But it's so manufactured, Taryn. It's not even like it's not even like it's
an underdog at some point. There's always got to be an underdog.
I know, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Tara hater. It just seems it's not even. I don't have anything against Tara. It's more just like everyone's reaction to her that I'm like, really? Like that's all it took? I don't know.
And I will say also, and I pointed this out this morning, but she has had significantly better jury management than Ty, particularly. I would say also better than I would honestly say she has the best jury management of anyone left in the house. And that does matter.
I will agree with you there. She does. I mean, it's kind of easy when you got somebody like Ty talking about enjoy jury. But I will say she definitely has. She has handled this entire fake double eviction very well. On top of winning, she has come in the house and done what she needed to do. So that does go. That does give you some mileage there. So I agree. But yeah. I'm still frustrated by it.
Yes. And I think it's what we see a lot as well, where it's like, especially if the person who is kind of, you know, in charge of the game or is doing well in the game is being annoying and not having good jury management. Like, it's so easy to just be like, well, screw it then. Tara wins. Fine. You want to be that way? Be frustrated.
So frustrating.
Okay. You be frustrated. Tara wins.
I mean, it would be an appropriate ending to the season if it actually came to fruition. I mean, this is the season for that kind of thing to happen. So I guess I can't be too surprised that, you know, this is what it's come to if it comes to that.
This is where we are. Now, we started the episode with Brayden talking about he wants Beth out of his head. And he wants Beth out of the game. He needs Beth out of the game. We've talked a lot about how, you know, why isn't he going after Kiefer? It does seem like it is kind of personal for Brayden and Ty that they just want Beth gone. She's in their heads. She's trying to convince them that they don't really like each other. And she's always being annoying. She tried to get them to volunteer for the block. They just want her gone.
Yeah, I mean, Beth didn't really do herself any favors here. She had like two opportunities to sort of save herself or have a good social game here, and both of them resulted in her just berating Ty. Well, not berating, but like saying like just trying to get Ty to understand her point of view in a very just not a very good way. First, after the veto doesn't get used, your solution is to go yell at Ty about how you're the reason that you're on the block. And it's like, okay, that might be true, but that's not going to get you to keep. That's not going to get him to keep you. And then later on, which they didn't show everything on this edited cut, but then to go and try to get this little wedge between the two of them when it's the final four. Wedges don't really do that much anymore, but just throwing all of these personal things out there to try to get, because how do you think Brayden is going to feel? You know what I mean? Like, forget Ty. Like, Ty, you know, we already know how you feel about Ty, but like, how is Brayden supposed to feel about you after this? Why Brayden, he might not have a vote, but he still has a little bit of influence here. So why do you think that this is going to help you? And if you were so concerned about Brayden's well-being, wouldn't you have said this before? It's the classic, you know, too little too late.
It's again, where you can say, like, I understand the frustration with Ty and like why he is saying he doesn't care about the jury vote. You can sort of like understand why Beth would be frustrated with Ty not owning anything and denying things that he did say and that he was doing to her face when they're alone together. What is that about? But this is a game and both of them need to get over themselves in terms of just stop reacting in this emotional way. Like, there's no purpose to Beth saying, to be getting upset with Ty, like, oh, you did this to me. Like, who cares if he did this to you? If he did do this to you, then you shouldn't be telling him that he did this to you. You should be telling him that Kiefer did this to you. You should be telling him, I can't believe Kiefer did this to me. I want that guy out of here. I hate him. He's going to win this stupid game. And I'm so frustrated with Kiefer for doing this to me. I know you tried, Ty, and I know you did everything you can. And I really appreciate that. You've always had my back.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of like a common phenomenon. I mean, it happens a lot in Big Brother, but like, I feel like I really began to understand this sort of thing that happens. It was a very common phenomenon that took place in a game that we've all played last summer, where you just get really, really bogged down about details about who said this and who said that. And he said, she said, and it's like, at the end of the day, what is the result that you are trying to get? What is the goal here? If the goal is to get yourself off the block or out of hot water, you really need to be spending all of your time either making deals or trying to make them understand that you are not coming after them, that you have someone else to go after, and that is within their best interest. All of the stuff, all of the spiels, that's what you should be focused on, not whether or not Ty or Beth, you know, are not owning up to whatever. Like, all of that is, it's all said and done, and no one's really going to care about any of that. Save all of that for the jury. Save all of that for your final two speech when you're talking about your moves. Right now it doesn't matter because you're on the block, he has a vote, do what you will with that, you know.
Yeah. I think that this episode is really just, it was Beth's episode. It was, she was campaigning left and right, getting into fights with Ty left and right. And you know, I do appreciate that she went out fighting. She tried every avenue that she could, but sometimes trying every avenue that you can is not the way to go. I think that, especially once she was locked in place and the veto was not used, I think that the only play she had was something that is, it was a continuation of her previous pitch, which is that Kiefer is going to win this game. I need to get this guy out of here. If she had been consistent with that message that she was going to stay true to Ty and Brayden for the entirety of the week, then maybe there would be a chance that Ty and Brayden might change their minds. But instead, she continually went back and forth. She attacked them and stopped, then attacked them again, then stopped, then said, look, Ty, I swear I'm bringing you to the end. And when he said no, she said, okay, fine. Kiefer, I swear I'm bringing you to the end. And that's going to sink your battleship. You have nothing left after that. You have no credibility.
And also, like, I mean, I would even venture to say that it might not even be that bad of an idea, because I agree. Like, you need to work on Ty. You need to work on Brayden. You need to convince them of why Kiefer is such a big threat. I would even venture to say that maybe you can even say, like, look, is there a shot that you can beat me, or that that I can beat you guys still? Yes, but there is more. It's more likely that you will beat me in the final two versus you beating Kiefer. If you're sitting there with Kiefer, it's just a no-go, period. So at the very least, just maximize your odds. Like, even if that means keeping me to the final two, do you want to sit next to me or do you want to sit next to Kiefer? Because right now, you're getting rid of me as an option entirely. Like, even like just putting that small amount of, yes, I'm still coming after you. Yes, of course I would like to maximize my odds as well. But I think that right now, in this point in time, both of us can maximize our odds together. But right now you are just getting rid of me and depleting your odds at winning. Like, I feel like you're just like laying down those brass tacks, especially with Ty, since he's on his villain era right now and being cutthroat. If you lay it out like that, maybe he'll think about it and be like, oh, you know what? Well, I did just get rid of Ty. I can just do the same thing to Kiefer, and then voila, I'm sitting pretty here with both moves under my belt. Maybe that's not, you know, talking nonsense here, but no, she back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yes. And it, you know, it's the strategy is a bad one, especially, like, again, I understand going to Kiefer, but nobody is going, like, Kiefer is not going to be able to sway this vote on his own. I mean, I guess it's possible, you know, Kiefer tends to be able to sway votes wherever he goes, but there's just not incentive for Kiefer to make that happen. And after you have convinced Ty and Brayden that you are now against them, and then you go to Kiefer, like, that's going to make Kiefer's job a lot harder, even if you do manage to convince Kiefer, and there's no incentive to keep Kiefer around. He's been working with Tara, and you've been saying that you need to go after him. And not only, this is the problem, not only have you been saying that you need to go after Kiefer, but the reason you need to go after Kiefer is because he's going to win the game. So there's no logical reason for you to change that opinion just because you need his vote this week. You get his vote this week, your incentives are still lined up to take the shot at Kiefer. There's no reason for Kiefer to buy into this at all. I appreciate the attempt, but I really do feel like she had the best argument to stay this week, and it was her own poor social game and strategic game that got her here in the first place and then kept her here as she spun her wheels in this entire episode.
Yeah, and all of the stuff with Jed, it just really, I think that was just sort of like it was the beginning of the end, especially in Ty's eyes, like, because he was already feeling a little bit like, oh, well, these two are going to go off together, and I'm going to be the one that's left out and voted out, so I need to get the jump on them before they get the jump on me. And then her doing all this scrambling and manipulation, trying to make it seem as if she is, like, in on this and that this is actually her plan. It's like, Ty's not, like, he already knows that it was like him and Kiefer that kind of were like the impetus for this to happen. And so for you trying to get in on it, it's like, now you're trying to come over to me as if you were in on it the whole time. And it's like, Ty's sitting there like, girl, no, like you're obviously, you have your hands in a lot of pots and it's just messy. And I'd rather you be gone entirely than for me to have to even worry about having to talk about, oh, actually, no, that was me. That wasn't Beth. That was me. That was, you know, it's just, in his eyes, it just wasn't worth it at that point. He's done. He's over it. It's like, Jed's gone. Beth's gone. We're done. Like, I'm the only one left. You got to vote for me now. Hey.
I just want to get to the end and forget about Beth.
Exactly.
Forget about Beth. These arguments are infuriating to listen to because it's so much nonsense from both sides where, like, they're both pretending things adamantly, and she's just like, I wanted Jed out, and he's like, no, you didn't. And she's like, well, you didn't either, you were with me the whole way. He's like, no, I wasn't, I didn't waver once. And she's like, oh, so you lied to me the whole time. No, never, I never lied to you.
I mean,
lied to her, Ty. Just say, look, yes, I planned it from the start, Beth. I was lying to you. I've been lying to you. I wanted Jed out from the beginning, and you never mattered the entire week. Okay? He doesn't have to say it that way, but I'm sure he would.
You might as well say that if you were going to go and then, like, you should say that rather than have fun in jury, Beth. Like, yes, say that instead. You know what I mean? Like, so it's they're both, I feel like they're, you know, we've seen this all the time, right? These players, they're in there for so long. They don't know. They struggle with the concept of truth and what's real and what's not all the time. And then they just get in these little game modes and tunnel visions at the very end where they feel like they have to keep up this lie. I mean, we even see people that go to jury that are still lying. And it's like, at some point, this is all going to be over and you're going to have to come on a podcast like this and talk about the actual truth. You might as well get the practice now so that you don't look silly when you come out of the house and people are like, so why did you lie about that? You didn't have any reason to do that. Why did you lie on your goodbye message? Yeah, why'd you do that?
I feel like the answer is going to be like, no, I really, you know, I wasn't fully decided at that point. I just wanted to be in the position to make the decision. It's like,
they don't care. They just, they're in it. They're in it right now and they can't see anything else. And I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I guess if I'm really thinking about it, I'd rather you be in it all the way and, you know, delude yourself versus worrying too much about what you're going to look like on the outside. Because if there's one thing that we also hate is them, like, trying to appear as smart as possible to the audience. So you know what, if y'all need to go ahead and lie to each other's faces, even though you know you're lying to each other's faces, then, you know, whatever, It's big with a Canada 9. That's all I can say. I just throw my hands up and let go and let God.
Yeah. Yeah. Beth and Ty get into it. They do eventually have a good conversation, and I was pleased to see that Ty finally was able to have like something here to say. And I felt like if Ty does get Beth's jury vote, if that does happen, it has to stem from this conversation where he actually is somewhat empathetic. He says, "I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be voting for you to stay. The reason is that if everyone thinks they can beat you, everyone's going to take you. And so that's dangerous for my game." It makes enough. I mean, I disagree with the logic, but it makes enough logical sense that at least it feels like he's doing it for a reason that is not personal, because all of the other reasons he's been saying have been, well, you did this to me and you did that to me and you said this and your actions and your words don't line up and so on and so forth, which just is a terrible reason to send somebody out the door. But if he says it's for a game reason, that's something that she can latch on to, and she may latch on to it. But of course, this is before the next fight that they have, so who knows if it really took hold. But I did like that he at least had this one conversation with her here.
Yeah, I mean, Beth has been very, very, she's been very concerned with making moves and creating a narrative for herself and letting people know that she's been playing the game. And so, of course, like, that's what she's going to want to hear. That's what anybody ever really wants to hear, even if it sucks to hear. It's like, you're too good of a player. If everybody wants to hear, you got to go. It's danger. You're dangerous. It's just not good for my game. Of course, people would rather go out of the house for something like that versus something personal, which, like, Beth, do you really think it's personal? I still struggle with that, because that's like, Beth, come on. Like, but whatever. I think that she's just more upset at the fact that she thought that she had Ty in her back pocket, and really he had somebody else in his back pocket, and she's mad because she thought that she was the only one doing that. It's like, it's Big Brother. But yes, Ty, butter her up when she goes out the door.
This had one of my favorite moments. I unfortunately did not clip it, but Ty says, "Beth, you do deserve to win this game." I do just this game. She like actually physically out loud replied with, "I do."
Yeah, I mean, if you ain't gonna believe in yourself, ain't nobody else gonna believe in you. So,
well, the thing for me is that anybody that reply, if somebody says to somebody, "You deserve to win this game," and their reply is, "I do deserve to win this game," that is a clear indication to me that deep down they do not believe they deserve to win this game, and they're trying their best to convince themselves and the world.
I don't know. I think she believes it, Taryn. I think that she legitimately thinks that she has had...
Oh, I think she has successfully convinced herself, but I think it comes from a place of, you know, insecurity.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's bad for you, I guess.
Yeah. She goes to Kiefer and she makes the pitch to Kiefer, and she says, "Nobody is taking you." And I talked about this on stream, but like, just, I'll have criticisms for Kiefer later, but the stark contrast in how Ty approaches Beth pitching to him and, you know, trying to talk to him, and how Kiefer does. Kiefer is kind of like smiling the whole time, like hearing her out, letting her speak, addressing her points, and keeping it light. Like, when he does shut her down, he's saying things like, "Yeah, I mean, you know, you did try to get me on the block this week though, right, Beth?" And she's like, "Yes, I did. You have me there. But what? Of course I'm going to do that." And he's like, "I know." And like, there's just like an understanding. There's like, he's sympathetic, and like, this, it's just a stark contrast. Like, all this is all it takes. You just need to be light about it. You just need to just let the other person talk and don't blame them for their own eviction in a very serious and defensive way, then look, they might not be so mad at you anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I noticed that too. It was a very. He did a really good job of, you know, addressing what she said and also getting his points in there as well and keeping it on a cool level. And I think a lot of that is aided. I mean, Kiefer obviously does have a stronger social game than a lot of the other players in the house. And I think that this particular situation is aided by the fact that Beth and Kiefer really don't have. They're not the bond. It was never really there. So like the capacity for hurt and pain is a little less than more so than with Ty and Beth, because like I said before, Beth thought that Ty and her were like closer than they really were. So to find out that they're not, it's like, well, damn, like now I'm pissed now with Kiefer. That's never really going to happen. And so it's a lot easier for him to sort of like navigate. Oh, it's starting to rain outside. Ooh. It's a lot easier for him to sort of like navigate this and, you know, keep things in a more elevated mood to, you know, potentially get that vote in the end.
Yeah. And I saw some people in the chat saying as well, like, you know, Beth approaches Kiefer differently than she does Ty. But I would say to that was not always the case. Last week when Jed was approaching Ty and Kiefer, he approached them very similarly. And again, they had very, very dissimilar responses where Ty got very like, what are you talking about? I would never do that to you. Well, I mean, now that it's out there, I guess I have to do it to you. It's if you think about it, you'll never trust me again. It's all your fault. I mean, look at what you did. And Kiefer was like, I'm sorry, man. I have to do what I have to do. Everything changed for me when I got put on the block last week. And, you know, I love you and I will always love you, but I have to do what's right for me in this game. And Kiefer sold it so well to Jed that Jed left the house saying, my biggest mistake was not using the veto on Beth. My biggest mistake was not keeping Kiefer. My biggest mistake was putting Kiefer on the block in the first place. He was so taken in by Kiefer's response versus Ty's. Over the course of the week and over the course of this week, Beth has approached both Kiefer and Ty about like, why did you screw me? Why are you doing this? Kiefer always has kept it on this level where he is understandably saying, I have to do this. This is what I have to do for my game. And it can be obnoxious at times when he talks about money and all of that, but it is not the response that Ty gives. Ty escalates it every time. And it has gotten to a point where Beth doesn't approach Ty with that level of her guard down because they have built their guards up over the course of the last couple of weeks. And so that's where the conversation starts now. But Ty had an opportunity to respond the same way that Kiefer did at the start, and he just never has.
Yeah, I mean, it's ever since Jed left, it just hasn't really been. The rift is there. The rift is there, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I mean, the first indication should have been when Ty did put Tara up on the block during the fake double eviction, or Beth on the block during the fake double eviction, because it's just. This little trio that you guys thought that you had going on obviously does not mean much. And you were so busy trying to make it seem as if you were also a part of breaking this trio up intentionally, that you just didn't get any of the warning signs that something else may be coming down the line for you, Beth. And I think it's just a really, really tough pill to swallow. And granted, yeah, Ty is not really offering any water with the pill either. And I guess time will tell as to whether or not this is something that would, like, if Ty ends up in the final two, time will tell if this is something that Beth really does take issue with. So, yeah, at this point, it's just like, Ty, if you're going to be doing all this, you better make sure that you get rid of Kiefer, because I mean, people have been saying that he's going to win the game even before you guys were coming after each other in the trio. So now that the trio is definitely out of the picture, it's like, what's next? Like, so, yeah. which I think he should understand at this point. So,
well, Ty does say that he knows that he thinks he has a good argument as long as he's not standing next to Kiefer. It was good to hear him say that. Now, he was saying that out loud to Beth. So I still don't know if that means that he would take the shot at Kiefer at the final four. I do not know if he would do that, but we're getting more and more evidence that he's aware of the fact that he might have trouble beating Kiefer. And my concern still is that he thinks option number one is Brayden. Option number two would be Kiefer, and he has a better chance against Brayden than Kiefer. But there's definitely a real chance here that Ty would want to take the shot at Kiefer at the Final Four, which would be certainly the right move to make. I also like that Beth makes this pitch to Kiefer, and they brought it up in the intro this time. Will Beth stop yelling? I was like, you guys are yes, Beth likes to yell, but a lot of people in this house yell a lot too. And I would say that the Beth yelling thing came out of the episodes more so than it came out of the feeds. And you guys are in control of the volume knob, editors. that's what I was saying last night. You guys can compress this audio.
They can, but that'll make it any less loud, because I remember when Victoria was hosting Arissa's Drag Race a couple months ago, and she was loud the entire time, and her mic was off. These people, I'm sure they were just like,
I'm not gonna say Beth is not loud, because she is, but
they were throwing shade because they were pissed off that they had to listen to that and edit it at all. Like, girl, why are you yelling? You're not even in the Final Four.
But so she's making this pitch to Kiefer, and she's like yelling it, like, I am taking you, Kiefer. I am taking you. Nobody else is taking you. I will cut them. It's like, this is the worst possible way to pitch this to Kiefer right now, because you just got done pitching to Ty the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's like, and you're going to yell it too. So it's like, why would Ty, after hearing this, then go in? Yeah, I mean, we got 1 week left. That's all I can say.
And I'll say again to the chat, what I'm saying is that in the episodes, the Beth being loud thing came from the episodes from very early on in the diary room. People were like, why is she yelling so much? It was one of the first episodes of the season. Like right away. Why is she yelling so much? That narrative came from the episodes. Obviously, she is also loud on the feeds. But what I'm saying is that the narrative came from the episodes, and you in the episodes, you have control over it. It's very, very simple.
Kyle was definitely one of the first ones to catch on to her vibe, because he was just not having it from the get go. He was like, I just cannot stand this girl. She's like, she's not funny. She thinks she's funny. She's loud all the time. It's just not fun. It's just like, ugh, ugh. So yeah, this isn't anything new.
Yeah. So speaking of being loud, this is the segment. This is actually the feeds came back from the big, hiatus, hiatus, that we had, when the feeds were out, and they came back up to, the Kiefer and Beth counting raccoons and yelling constantly, the both of them. This whole segment was, like, I was like, this was obnoxious to watch on the feeds. Hopefully it makes for at least some sort of amusing segment. No, it was very obnoxious on the show, too, I thought.
They played her when Kiefer went to the bathroom. They started pressing them buttons real fast. I was like, y'all are not crap for this. That was so messed up. But yeah, no, this was not very, I feel like, if anything, I was like, well, I was trying to count as well. And I was like, I'm pretty sure they did not get the correct answer, but they just wanted to give them the party and just let them have a moment's reprieve. But, you know, I mean, the season is winding down. There's less people in the house. They got to get their content somehow. And this is the way that they chose to do it. I would have much rather prefer to see Kiefer have to sit in some ice cream than watch this. So,
I mean, I have an idea for them. They could have cut the raccoon segment and shown the HOH competition, for example.
They could have done that.
Yeah.
We could have got maybe a little bit more jury, because we're running out of time to show a lot of that as well. There's plenty. I mean, we will be here until Big Brother Canada 23 if we had the time to list all the grievances that we have with this season. But BB can.
Yes. Well, we did get a jury segment here. And unlike the previous one, I actually wanted to see this one, because There wasn't a whole lot else going on in the episode. And this was a fun one, especially because Jed had so much to explain to the jury. We started the episode or the segment, Vic making a joke about Tara being a floater. Okay, Vic has not been sold on Tara yet, but they do not know what Tara has done quite yet. So we'll see if that changes anything. And Jed walks through the door here, Iman.
Yes, he does. This is the first time that I get to talk about a jury segment on the podcast. And I love the little jury cam graphic that they got going on. It makes it feel so much more like you're right there with him as he walks in. So that's a lot of fun. And yeah, he did have a lot of explaining to do, because I always love it when the jury really wants somebody to come into the house, but in the back of their head, they don't really think that that person will. And so when they do, it's like, like, I'm happy, but what the hell? How did you get here? This is insane. And so, yeah, watching him have to explain all of his mistakes, which react from that.
The rain is coming for Iman here. It's really taking him out. All right, you're back.
It's the rain. It's like really pouring down out here. Where did I stop?
You know what? I got so caught up in the.
I was just making the point that I wanted a bit more of a reaction from the rest of the jury, or at least I wanted to be able to see more of the reaction when Jed talked about not using the veto on himself. Mm-hmm. I wanted a little bit more of a DR from Victoria, from Rohan, from any of them, because if I were sitting in jury and the next person that walked in was there as a result of not using the veto on themselves, I would be livid. You would not hear the last of it from me. I might not rub it in Jed's face, but I would be pissed. You mean to tell me that I cannot play this game anymore? You have the opportunity to continue playing and you didn't take it? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think I would just be like.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's dead.
Like, the producers would have had to hold me back. That would have turned into Bad Girls Club real quick, because I would have had to start throwing hands. Are you kidding me?
That hurt. I really dropped.
Not you, death dropping.
Jed walks in and he explains fully, just like, so here's what happened. Tara wins the HOH. What? She puts me and Beth on the block. Oh my God. I win the veto. What? Wait. Mm-hmm. What? Don't you tell me that you used the veto on Beth. I did use the veto on Beth. What? What? Ro is just losing his mind. He's like, yeah, I made a deal with Tara that she'd put up Brayden and then we would vote out Brayden. And Victoria's like, oh, they did you dirty. He's like, they did me dirty. Ro was like, what?
He was like, no, you did yourself dirty. You did yourself dirty.
What? it was a lot. And then he's like, guys, that's not all. So it was a double eviction. And who else is coming in? So Ty wins the HOH. He puts up Beth and Tara. Brayden wins the veto. Brayden doesn't use the veto. They vote out Tara. Then I compete against Tara and she beats me and goes back in. And it's like, oh, wow. It's so much information. Vic says she is so surprised that Jed did not win beside Tara. And that changes a lot.
See, I wonder, is it the culmination of all the sequence of events that changes a lot for you? Is it the fact that Tara specifically beat Jed? Because in my mind, I'd be like, I would be more upset with Jed versus more congratulatory of the rest of the people in the house, because this seems like more of a Jed, you're dumb, versus everybody else is so smart. But whatever. Also, is there some rule now that they have to watch the TV outside? Well, because the Canadian the Canadian spring is like an American winter. So like, why are they subjecting themselves to like this like brisk air to watch Jed McFoulder himself? Like, well,
they did something similar in the U.S. Version of the summer. And I would imagine it has to do with COVID. They're probably trying to avoid cameramen in the building.
As much as possible. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, then get a bigger house. Like, it's cold. Like, they're all bundled up out there. Bugs out there. I was like, are they watching a Christmas movie? Like, what is going on here? It was just very, very strange, but. You know what? Do what you got to do, production. Do what you got to do.
So Ro finally says towards the end of the segment that says everyone has a resume now. It's a crapshoot. It's interesting that they feel that way because that's sort of kind of what we've been saying, it really does feel pretty even. Most everyone can win, except for maybe Brayden at this point, but that's still, to be determined. I do think that this is probably confirmation for us that when I spoke to Jed, he had already talked to the jury, that he went back to the jury that night. Again, Jed's sort of information that he gave me in terms of where his head is at for the jury vote has already been influenced by the other people in the house and is likely to be somewhat shared by the other members of the jury, in my opinion. So something to note for that.
Yeah. I like that that there's always the potential for a bit of a live jury. I like to see that juries are sort of, really trying to take everybody's game for what it is. And Jed, for all it's worth, did sort of crack this game wide open, because I think, like I said, a lot of them sort of had this idea of what was going to happen. And now that Jed is out, it's like, well, here we go. So I guess thank you, Jed, for adding some spice to the end game.
All right. Well, so that was the jury segment. We're going to hear from Beth a couple of times. Amon, did you know Beth knows all her females and males? She's got it all down.
Yeah, I was so glad that she explained that soon after, because I was like, what the hell are you talking about, girl? I was like, what are we studying? that's great. That's great. Good for you, Beth. Has Tara really not been studying? I haven't been too close on the feeds for the past few days. Was she being truthful when she said to Beth that she knows nothing of that?
I mean, she studies, she knows the days, she knows the events, but she has not been studying in that
the
way.
Details.
Yeah, she's not been studying like, okay, well, how many men have won the veto on odd days? She's only been studying like the events themselves. And so she would not necessarily have an ability to have like quick recall on, I know all my males and females.
Right. Well, it's always good to know your males and females.
It's always good. She wants to give all of her males and females to Tara. And this is when Kiefer walks in. And this is the other side of the Kiefer coin, where he's just like, Beth, you shouldn't be telling people that you know all your stuff. Rich, coming from you, Kiefer, mister. I'm going to win all the competitions and win this game if people don't take me out of this game. How in the world is he telling Beth that she shouldn't be saying she knows all of her stuff when this is what he's been doing all game? Right in front of Tara, where he goes, I mean, not out of it yet, Beth. Who knows?
Yeah. Very, very, very strange. Very like it felt like Kiefer was kind of just feeling himself in this moment. Like it was kind of like the way he even walked into the room was like, hey, I'm in the final four and you're not. maybe you should take my advice, because clearly I'm doing better than you. Hey, Tara. I'll see you in the final four. Or maybe I won't. We'll see. It was very strange. Very strange.
Oh, man. man, that was like a cat impersonation from Red Dwarf. That was amazing. we're then gonna get yet another argument with Beth and Ty, and this is when it really starts to feel like, all right guys, like, can we just get to the HOH competition already, because we don't need another one of these. You can't even own up to it. You didn't say that. I said that. She's like, you didn't say that Brayden should, that you had Brayden in your back pocket. You didn't say that, Ty. I said that. Is that a denial? I'm not entirely sure. And this is when he goes ahead and says,
all she does is throw people under the bus. Like, I'm done with her. Like, I don't even care about jury management at this point. Like, as long as she's gone, I am happy. I don't need her vote. I don't want it. I just want to get to the end and forget about Beth.
No. I mean, it's just a bad play from the both of them here. Like, Beth, like I said before, if you're trying to get him to vote for you, this is not the way to do it. Also, obviously Ty is not going to fess up to saying that in front of Brayden. It's not going to happen, but the way that you're handling the situation doesn't make you look entirely innocent either.
And notably in the DR, he did not deny any of what Beth was saying. He just said that she likes to throw people under the bus, meaning she was saying true statements, right?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know what Beth expected. Like, he's not going to say it in front of, like, why do you want him to say this in front of Brayden? Why? Mm-hmm. And that's why so many people were so upset with her, because it was like, okay, you're clear. It's beyond game now. You're just mad. Like, because he's obviously not going to say this. So now it just feels like you're just trying to be spiteful. You're trying to be hurtful. And there's just no need for that at this point. Like, if you want to have this conversation one-on-one and he still continues to gaslight you, I can understand being upset with that. But like, then throwing it in Brayden's face, like, or what? And poor Brayden's like, Ty's like, yeah, this is kind of awkward. He's like, yep.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty awkward. You know what else is awkward? Going from,
I just want to get to the end and forget about Beth.
To,
oh, girl. Hey, BB, you know this game was always us from the start. Like, I don't even care about jury management at this point. I don't need her vote. I don't want it. Oh, girl. Hey, BB, you know this game was always us from the start. Enjoy jury, Beth.
That hey, girl part. That's kind of,
oh, girl.
Cringy. Oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, maybe they made up this today while the fees were off and they, you know, let bygones be bygones. And they were just like, you know what? It is what it is. Like, you're leaving, I'm still here, I hope that we can still be friends, you know, that whole spiel. And so maybe he smoothed some things over in the end. Not enough if she's still out here talking about how she wants Tara to win, but we'll see.
Yeah, so Beth is evicted. She says in the ceremony, like, Ty, Brayden, you've got one more shot at this, basically. She is evicted unanimously. And we get to the exit interview here, which was, you know, whatever. I don't think we got much other than the Tara stuff. And then.
Oh, girl. Hey, BB. You know this game was always us from the start.
What is the oh, girl? Like, why so not just good. Start with the hey, BB?
Oh,
what
girl.
What is this? That was Taisha. That's who that was. That's.
I loved it.
Oh, girl. Oh, girl.
Oh, girl.
Oh, man.
Sound a drunk, like, middle-aged woman after she's had too many glasses of wine at the local bingo hall or something. Oh, girl.
I like the attempt here, obviously. At least he's trying in the goodbye message. At least he's not his goodbye message to Jed was terrible. At least this one was a little bit like less trying to deny a bunch of stuff and more just like, hey, girl.
Oh, girl. Oh, girl.
Oh, girl.
Oh, girl.
Like, I don't even care about jury management at this point. I don't need her vote. I don't want it.
Oh man.
Enjoy Jordy, girl.
So there we go. That was Beth, and she will be enjoying her time in jury. We are going to start the HOH competition. We're going to start it. And it's going to be 7 questions. They're going to be shown images of just players who were competing in a veto competition. Their goal is to buzz in as early as possible to answer which house guest was evicted following that veto competition in which the players on screen played. So we get 1 question. The first question, all 3 of them buzzed in at about the same time, but Ty got there first and he said, Ro, Ty is up 1 point. That's all we get. We do not have any real clue who won this competition here, Mon.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw some spoilers floating around. I don't know if any of those, I don't know the veracity of those claims.
Feeds will down until 1 a.m. Tonight. So, there's no real way for us to know quite yet.
Right. If Ty keeps this up, because Ty has been studying as well, like if he keeps this sort of like momentum going, then maybe he's made his way to the final 3. But we won't know for another couple hours. Look, I'm kind of like at this point now where I'm like, you know, whoever wins will win. Of course, I would love it if someone in my draft won. So that's Ty or Brayden. But other than that, like this end game has been so topsy turvy that like I'm just along for the ride. So whatever these fools are going to give us when these peeps come back, I'll take it.
Yeah, and this should be a pretty even competition, in my opinion. I think that they all should know their veto competitions. This mm-hmm. is a pretty simple thing to have memorized who competed in what vetoes. It's just a matter of putting the pieces together at around the same time or as soon as possible. And given mm-hmm. that, you know, we did only see 1 question, but in that 1 question, again, all 3 of them did buzz in at nearly the same time. It's just that Ty got that buzzer first. That indicates to me that this is going to be pretty even throughout. It's going to be potentially just a matter of who buzzes in first. But it also could just be that it really could go either way. There's 6 more questions and a point has to go to somebody. So having a 1-point lead is not a big thing here. In this competition, Ty would need to get at least 3 more to lock out anybody else.
I wonder what the rules are in terms of like if you buzz in and get it wrong, do you lose a point?
Probably not, right? I feel like it's usually that if you get it wrong, it just goes to the next person. I think that's usually how it goes.
All right, we shall see.
We shall see indeed. This is obviously an important HOH competition in terms of who makes it to the final 3. But as we know, in the final 4, what really matters is the veto. And the veto winner will decide who will be evicted this week. Mm-hmm. That's going to be important because we will find out who is evicted on Wednesday. I imagine that the feeds will go down sometime over the weekend. That's typically how it works. They'll have the eviction. At some point, the feeds will go down for it, and then they will not return for the rest of the season. But we will learn on the show who is evicted on Wednesday, and then 2-hour finale on Thursday night. We are 1 week away from the end of the season, Aman.
Yeah, it kind of just like it felt like it was April felt very long, and then towards the end, it just like sped up. I can't believe we have another season in the books. I think this season has just been so all over the place. It really has. And all of, you know, we have a lot of complaints about how they handled feeds and, a lot of things with these episodes, but this really has been a fantastic season of Big Brother, and Big Brother Canada really has stepped it up on a lot of cylinders to try to bring us some good television, some good Big Brother, some good personalities. And I mean, if this is the beginning of this new shift that we are seeing with Big Brother Canada 9, then honestly, I'm ready for Big Brother Canada 10. Like, just keep it coming, you know, give us more, like keep innovating, keep trying new things. Don't cut the feeds for 4 days. But other than that, I'm satisfied. I really am.
Yeah, Big Brother 10 is going to come around and I'm going to be like,
oh, girl. I wonder, can Big Brother Canada 10, they should really make it their mission, because we give Big Brother Canada a lot of praise in a lot of ways for being Big Brother, or being better than Big Brother US. Can Big Brother Canada 10 rival Big Brother 10? Let's see. Let's see.
Big shoes to fill.
I know, but I wanna see, you know? I wanna see what can happen.
It's
right now, I will become the bad guy.
That's what needs to happen. Pop and Paul Jackson needs to return if they want to have any chance of rivaling Big Brother 10. All right. There's nothing to update on feeds wise. Again, the feeds are down and they will continue to be down until later tonight. So we won't have any update for you until tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, when I am live with Puya to talk about everything that happened today on the feeds, which is not going to be much, but we should be able to tell you who the HOH is, at the very least, considering who is sleeping in the HOH room. Hopefully we'll be able to know at the very least. We will not necessarily know who is going to be nominated, or it doesn't really matter. It's just going to come down to the veto. So we won't have too much for you there, but we will be able to let you know who the HOH is and anything that has been said to indicate where people might go. And then that's what we got. We will continue the live feed updates. And then I will do the game reviews at the end of the season as well. So you've got those to look forward to. Is there anything else, though, Amon, that we need to talk about or speculate on?
Not that I can think of. I mean, we don't know. We won't know what happens with this HOH until a couple hours. And I feel like if Ty wins, obviously Tara and Kiefer go on the block, then it comes down to the veto and who's going to evict who. And if Kiefer wins, I expect Ty and Brayden on the block. And then we'll see what happens with it. It's all over the place. It really is. And if Tara wins, then it's Kiefer and Ty, I would assume. And then we'll see. It really is kind of anyone's game right now.
It really is. So we will see indeed. All right. So that's what we have for you here tonight. Again, tune in tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern. We'll update you on what we do know from tonight. We'll continue those live feed updates. Monday, of course, we'll be back to recap the Monday night episode. Those will be the Big Brother Canada Awards. We'll see the HOH play out, I imagine. And that'll probably be it for Monday's episode. I imagine Wednesday will be the veto competition and eviction. And then the 2-hour finale will be the 3-part final HOH. And they will then crown a winner. Tune in for all of that. You can, of course, also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Played some fun games with Kevin and Bruno from Big Brother Canada last night. And I'm always just hanging out, playing games, talking to people, answering questions, all kinds of fun stuff, watching episodes as they air. So check all of that out. Also, we've got some Circle coverage. The first three episodes of the week, episode 9, 10, and 11. Episode 11 recap should be out tomorrow, but the first two are up. I taught Jacob a lot of things about pop culture, because I'm clearly a pop culture expert on the episode 9 recap, so make sure you check that out. And then on Saturday we'll be live with the episode 12 recap for The Circle, so make sure you tune in for that as well. Amon, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Amon Adwin, talking all sorts of Big Brother at all times. You can also find me on Twitch as well, Adam on Admin, where I'm reading now the third book of Harry Potter. I'm going to get Mary, Frail Mary, up in there to read some more chapters with me soon. Also, all the other usual games, Fall Guys, Among Us, all that crap. So, Yeah. Swing through.
All right. Okay. Thank you guys so much for joining us here tonight. And I will see all of you next time.